This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation. SMS 0427 JOY 949, email onair at joy.org.au, or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
I'm David Gale, your host on tonight's Informer.
And I'm Ian Muchamore. On tonight's show, we'll speak about Ben and Jerry's ice cream, no two scoops the same rule.
And later on, we'll be talking about Q Space and their new drug and alcohol services.
Joy 94.9.
I'm Connor.
And Stephanie.
And where are you from?
Melbourne.
South Africa.
So have you heard about the Ben & Jerry's campaign?
Yes, they're going to try. They're banning two scoops because they don't want two of the same things, because that's just what Australia is not doing with gay marriage.
What do you think about that?
I love it. I think it's a great idea. It's a great way to get people to recognise and see what's going on, to like get them to feel what it's like.
What do you think?
I love it. I'm exactly the same. I think gay marriage should be definitely legal, and I just think it's a really cool idea that Ben and Jerry's are just putting it to this public and showing how inequality is actually happening in our backyards.
We're like, Australia's a bit behind, I feel.
Yeah.
We need to catch up with the times, start showing people that we can.
You've had gay marriage same-sex marriage in South Africa for a long time.
Very long time, yeah. It's kind of just been part of life. There's never been really...
Did you guys marry?
No, yet.
No, not yet.
Maybe?
Hopefully.
Well, it's great to have the option, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That was Connor and Stephanie, whom I caught up with on the streets of Melbourne this afternoon. It might have been a brisk 12 degrees in the city and not the weather for an ice cream. But last week, Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream announced on social media that they'll no longer serve two scoops of the same flavour ice cream to customers, at least until Australia makes same-sex marriage legal. The story went viral on social media and was picked up by media worldwide. Tonight we ask community and experts for their responses. Is the support welcomed by community? How will consumers react? What makes it good business sense? And how will all the information we share and like on social media in campaigns like this be used by popular consumer brands to tailor new digital marketing? First up, I spoke to an expert in marketing and business. So we have on the line Michael Callahan. He is a lecturer in marketing and management at Deakin University. And welcome to the show, Michael.
Pleased to be here, Ian.
You've seen the campaign. What do you think of it?
To be quite honest, Ben and Jerry's are well known for becoming involved in social issues, so it doesn't surprise me. What does surprise me, though, is any organisation taking a stance on a subject as controversial as this. They are wearing their hearts on their sleeve, and it does run the risk of isolating certain segments of their market. But I suspect they may well have picked it correctly, in that most Australians, I think, actually support the stance that they're taking, and they're the ones that are having the guts to stand up and put their product on the line by saying, we want to make this stance to increase the awareness of this issue that's been boiling on for way too long.
So for brands like Ben & Jerry's, what's the value for them in a story like this? You know, it gets picked up all over the social media, it's gone global with news.
the traditional marketing methods of television, radio, magazine, newspapers, those sorts of things are no longer attracting the audiences that they used to. And the reality is that if you want to actually get people recognising your product, for your product to be in their consideration set in terms of their making product choices, social media is really the only way to go. And to have a successful social media campaign, it has to be about an issue that society is interested in. I mean, you could plant your flag on any number of issues, whether man walked on the moon or not, and it's just not going to get the traction. Because so for that story to have the sort of interest that creates this viral effect in terms of the message getting out there and being passed on by members of society, it has to have some sort of degree of inherent drama. Mm-hmm. And this topic in particular is one that people are particularly interested in for all of the right reasons. And it's a bright campaign when you think about it. It's a very clever approach. And because it's being picked up by all of those various social media platforms, not because of the platforms themselves, it's because of the users that are engaging in those platforms.
How is that data used? How do companies use that data on what I click on and like or share?
You'd be surprised as to how much data they collect. Running a campaign like this would be giving them a lot of data that they would actually be able to judge future, let's call them, social media releases in terms of the sorts of people that are sharing it. I would dare say they'd actually be able to collect demographic data from it. They can also tell where it's been shared to, what other platforms it ends up on.
So should I be expected, because I share something or I've liked something, that the products that I get from Unilever, which obviously owns Ben & Jerry's, might be tailored more towards me?
Most definitely. The reality is, anything that you do on the internet, the reality is those social media platforms do on-sell that data to other organisations. Everything you do online, you need to be aware that it's probably being used for some purpose. And look, the reality is the attractive nature of social media, because it's online, from a marketing perspective, is because of that information collecting side of it. And it helps facilitate segmentation of markets, working out who's interested in the product, who's not. And we can use those sorts of things to determine what sorts of products are going to be of more interest to our markets or our audiences.
Michael, thank you so much for being on The Informer.
Absolutely a pleasure, Ian.
Interesting angle. What about the community reaction? Online, the reaction so far has been pretty positive, and I caught up with community activist and advocate, I'm Stephen Spencer, who's also studied the historic and contemporary relationships between business and LGBTI community. This is what Stephen had to say. You've seen the Ben and Jerry story. What did you think of it?
I thought it was interesting because it definitely shows a new way of how corporations are dealing with their consumers and with the general issue of marriage equality here in Australia.
So what is different then?
This really indicates a move towards a micro move by corporations actually hitting consumers at the point of purchase, at the point of decision making, which is a new strategy.
Do you have any concern?
There's obviously the concern where, you know, opponents of marriage equality will often, you know, they throw around that tired old fascist line and they're trying to limit people's rights. I think that maybe the naysayers will jump on this, but I think most Australians are pretty level-minded enough to realise, oh, it's actually a move in support of us rather than against anyone. Because obviously they're taking away someone's opportunity to get a second scoop of ice cream. But, you know, compare that to the broader notion of us trying to achieve equal rights, and then you sort of realise, oh, it's just a scoop of ice cream.
You've in the past had some concerns around pinkwashing. Can you explain to our listeners what pinkwashing is in simple terms?
Yeah, basically pinkwashing is the co-optation of LGBTIQ causes in the name of a corporation. So when you see a corporation come out in support of marriage equality, or if you see logos and branding at a pride event, that is considered pinkwashing.
Is the Ben & Jerry's campaign pinkwashing?
It depends how you look at pinkwashing. It technically is, because they're using an LGBTI cause to, I mean, essentially they're promoting, at the end of the day, any business is aiming to promote themselves and increase sales. So there is obviously a financial incentive for them to be doing this, but the fact that they are supporting a progressive social cause, especially in the name of our vulnerable LGBTIQ community, is definitely commendable.
So in this case, you're not a cynic?
I'm known to be quite cynical. And at the end of the day, when it comes to pinkwashing, it's a dilemma. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Do we want them on our... I think at the end of the day, we want them on our side rather than against us. And so any sort of power we can grab from broader society, especially with corporations who are increasing their political and social power, is a good thing, because that's where things are going. But it's definitely a point of concern in where corporations are gaining political and social power, because it's all well and good while they're on our side, but what if they start, you know, what if they start talking out against issues?
You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. In a report of almost 4,000 people, a closer look at private lives too found that 9% of people identifying as same-sex attracted and gender-diverse used methamphetamines in the past year, compared with 2% nationally. A new drug and alcohol intervention service is set to help hundreds of vulnerable people in the north. Q Health will provide individual, couple and family counselling to anyone that identifies as same-sex attracted and gender diverse and is experiencing alcohol and drug issues. Tonight on The Informer, we're joined by Mark Camilleri, Senior Practitioner of Drummond Street Services, and Gemma Mead, the Manager of Counselling Support Services from Merry Health. Welcome back to The Informer. Firstly, Mark.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Gemma, we haven't seen you before, but welcome to The Informer as well.
Thank you.
Look, can you tell us about your new drug and alcohol intervention service and how it's set up to help hundreds of vulnerable people in the northern suburbs? It's Q Health, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the things we found is when we were on the show last time is we started through midsummer, through the plebiscite, through safe schools, we started to see this increase in people wanting to get services. So we saw a 50% increase in the new intakes coming in. We've just queer people not feeling very good about themselves, maybe not feeling safe, not feeling that ability to be themselves. And of course, with that comes those drug and alcohol issues.
So what sort of services were they looking for at that time? You know, and I remember even all the talk about transgender bathrooms, there was a whole big narrative last year, and you said there was like a 40% increase in people seeking your service. What sort of services were they looking for?
Well, you know, mainly mental health services. And of course, we know sometimes when people have mental health difficulties, they will medicate them using drugs and alcohol.
Right. And also, you know, that statistic that 99% of people identifying as same-sex attracted are using methamphetamine in the past year versus 2% of the general population. You know, why is there an overrepresentation of clients from our community?
It would be a range of factors depending on the individuals, but obviously when there's high levels of transphobia, homophobia, biphobia that our community is experiencing, and often social isolation or rejection from family, friends and peers, that can also lead to mental health issues and alcohol and other drug use, which would increase those statistics. So it's not that as a community we're more likely to use alcohol and drugs. I guess it's a response to the sorts of issues that people are managing with the life situations they find themselves in.
Right. So this this service has been born from Drummond Street?
Yeah, well, as I said before, yeah, as we started seeing this increase, we sort of approached Merry Health and we're like, look, what are you seeing as well? And then we're like, let's do something about it, because if we don't create a service for our community will just have to fit into mainstream services. And we know that sometimes it could be a little bit hit and miss.
Merry Health covers the northern metropolitan region with some programs in the west, and we're a generalist community health service who's Rainbow Tick accredited, so it was a really powerful partnership for us to work with Drummond Street so that we can offer a broad, wide geographical range, but also a really safe place for people to come to
right.
a general service.
So it's sort of a rolling out of what we found in almost like a pilot program, but a very valuable program back in the Drummond Street services. It's like taking it out right out to that northern area. What sort of suburbs do we cover in Merry Health in the north?
For this particular program, we're covering seven different local government areas. So there's Brimbank, Darebin, Hume, Maribyrnong, Melbourne, Moreland, Wyndham and Yarra. So anybody who has a connection to those areas, whether they live, work, play, recreate in those areas, are welcome to come to the service.
So it's out in the west as well.
Okay, so that's quite a large area. What about if people want to access these services, who actually pays for it? Like, do you have to pay out of your own pocket, or is it like a Medicare rebate thing, or who actually pays for these services?
So the Q Health program is funded through the Northwest Melbourne Primary Health Network through funding that's come down from the Australian government through the drug and alcohol program. So the program for the community is free, so there's no charges at all.
So if I come in and want to seek their services, I don't have to pay anything?
You don't have to pay anything.
And not only you, if your partner comes in as well, your parents, your kids, they all are free as well.
Yeah, because you mentioned something about, families, because often, you know, it's forgotten that, you know, somebody may actually be using alcohol or drugs and they're actually affecting a lot of other people. And often it's maybe a partner that's sort of going, well, you know, I'm blaming myself and I'm enabling somebody else to do this sort of thing. And then they start to, you know, worry about their own health, and they actually need to be attended to as well.
Definitely, David. We see there's a high relationship also between drug and alcohol use and then intimate partner violence and family violence in the queer community.
Right. So you're seeing people from a broad range. I know this is a new service, but what sort of people are accessing this service at the moment?
Well, you know, we're seeing actually a lot of families where one member of the family is a queer person, or they might have a queer son or daughter, or it could be a queer couple. And then because of the drug and alcohol use, it's either family violence or it's covering up some existing mental health problems.
I had a question, which was there's an increasing number of services, which is really heartening to see. But one of the things, if I am an LGBTI person and I've got issues, how do I find a service that's going to suit my needs? Because different services have different feels, and we know that when we find a service that really matches with us is when it's going to work. So what advice would you have to people that are thinking, I want to reach out, but what questions should I be asking?
I guess it would depend on what kind of needs that you have. So there's GLBTI specific run and organisation. So if you really wanted to go to a space that you knew that everybody that was there was LGBTIQ and that was the focus of the organisation, that would be something that you could look for. There are other services like Drummond Street and Mary Health who have, say, in the Q Health program, are all queer clinicians, but you could walk into our sites and there's a range of different wraparound services, health services and other family counselling programs. So if you were looking for more of a generalist service, that could be something that you'd think about. And the service system can be very complicated to navigate, but I guess what you said before is really important about what fits with you, where do you feel comfortable, where do you feel safe. And if you go to a service and you don't feel like it's exactly the right one, it's really good to vocalise that, and then maybe that worker or somebody else could help you find a service that's more appropriate for you.
That's a really important point, isn't it? You know, once people find a service, and we know the most important thing around mental health especially is that people don't seek help early enough, so there are multiple options. There's another option out there now, which is another reason for actually, if you've got an issue, find a service that's not stigmatising, that you can feel comfortable in.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
also Drummond Street has a very long history, doesn't it, Mark?
Oh my goodness, it's been going like for 200 years or something like that. No, it's been going for about 100 years. Most of the queer, you know, originally it started off with family services when the men went off to war. And then when the men got back, they sort of had some trauma issues, so Drummond Street was looking after them. As we moved sort of into the 80s, we saw lots of queer couples, so lots of lesbian couples and gay guy couples that needed couple counselling. And now we're moving into that queer family services. And this is just another layer of that response to looking after our queer families, of those ones that might have drug and alcohol issues, or the individuals. And we know also that when we're talking about drugs and alcohol, you know, I know you've mentioned methamphetamines already, but, you know, we see lots of poly use within the LGBTIQ community. So there might be lots of alcohol as well as amphetamines and other drugs.
Right. And then, well, what happens if I was a client that was struggling, let's say, with one of those or a poly user, what happens when I seek help?
Well, we have a dedicated number, so we've got our 1-800 number, so they'd come in through the intake system, they'd get a full assessment, and at the intake is where we're working out what types of services they might need and how much wraparound they might need. So again, they'll be asking, do you have a partner, Have you got children? Where you're living? And maybe to get those clients into it. Once the assessment's done, then we'll try and work out, do they need counselling? Is it case management? Is it care planning? Is it care coordination? Do we need to get them into a recovery service?
Yeah, they actually talk about how there's never enough, I don't know, places where people can go for rehabilitation or what am I thinking of? Detoxing, yeah, detox beds and all that sort of stuff.
And if you're a trans person, where do you end up?
Yeah, well, exactly. So this is the start of that process to try and find people
and
places.
Part of this program too is to be able to build some of the capacity of the alcohol and drug service sector. So when we're referring people to another service, we'll be ensuring that the service we're referring them to, whether it's for rehab or detox or a resi stay, that we're working with that service to ensure the people will be safe when they go there and finding which services are the best and most appropriate to refer to as well.
There just aren't enough services, are there?
No.
So your expansion is just adding a few more spots to the whole pool, but I mean, you know, it's still important work. And I mean, without that, you know, once again, going from the small germ in Drummond Street and then continuing it out right out through the Mary Health Network in those northern, western, and central suburbs, without that happening, it just doesn't make a dent.
So if the gold fairy comes along and says you can do anything else that you want to and you can be funded, what else do you think needs to be done in this space?
Wow. I'd love to have that gold fairy. I think there's a lot of exciting work that we're all doing at the moment. We're developing some mental health programs for adults with who are LGBTIQ experiencing mental health issues and creating safe spaces for those people. We've got Drummond Street, who's, you know, working around family violence and family counselling. Mm-hmm. I think housing is a huge issue.
Housing is, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And engaging young people in like these peer recovery, you know, like when people from our community do go through these things, they have a unique perspective on what it's like to navigate the barriers between your sexuality, gender, mental health, as well as then alcohol and other drugs. So, you know, empowering those people to give the message to their own community. And, you know, in the LGBTI community, we're very good at, you know, communities talking to community. We're sort of forced together from being so being
so
other.
Is peer support integrated within what you're currently doing, or is that a future plan?
One of our staff is a peer support worker.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So
yeah, we'd like a lot more.
right.
And a very interesting thing is too that these services are aimed at everybody, because addiction and these problems they're just not specific to one class of people. It's really everybody. And of course, this is focusing, of course, in the LGBTIQ community. But it just doesn't divide, does it?
No, it doesn't. And the problem is also we're seeing is in you know, this is the only dedicated queer drug and alcohol service in Victoria.
Wow.
Shocking.
Yeah, it is.
So much more to be done, and I'm really pleased that you're doing this work. It's heartening to hear. So how can people find out about this?
So the best place to start would be to ring the intake line at Drummond Street, and as Mark said, there'll be the initial assessment and then looking at whether the person would be more suitable to come to Mary or to Drummond Street. So the intake number is 1-800-LGBTIQ, which translates to 1-800-542-847.
It's a fantastic number, 1-800-LGBTIQ. I don't think anybody could forget that. And, of course, there's info at queerspace.org.au. Now, we'll put those links up on the podcast straight after this show. So if anybody wants to seek those services, please, you know, check that out. But 1-800-LGBTIQ. Look, it's been great having you back again, Mark. It's wonderful to see you here. And we love talking about your services and finding out what's new. This is a new service. So, you know, if anybody does need to seek out Q Health, well, you know, the details are there. And Gemma, fantastic. Welcome to The Informer as well.
Thank you.
And to Joy 94.9. That's it for another episode of The Informer. We'll be back tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. to bring you the day's big news. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform.
And we'd like to thank tonight's guests. That's Connor and Stephanie, Michael, Stephen, Gemma and Mark. and also our panellist JJ and our executive producer Shannon Power. My name is Ian Muchamore.
And I'm David Gale. There's more Informer tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. with Shannon Power.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.